way that you have continuously risen and not only deposited in me, but brought it up so many times and so often and almost constant now. And I thank you for that, Lord. There's an eternal spring inside of me and inside of each one of us. And Lord, help us to become more and more aware of what you're doing and who you are and how you can minister not only to us, but through us. In Jesus' name, amen. The exciting thing about Cindy's testimony, and she was going on for about 20 minutes, was that she heard God so clearly giving her instruction and direction, when to stay, when to go. One day she was there for 10 hours in the hospital and shared witness to her about Christ, and it's a beautiful thing. Then it turned out that this other couple that had been there in the room with her as well had been witnessing and had prayed the sinner's prayer with this woman. She had a brain virus, so she was dying. But she was actually there when she passed, and she said it was the most beautiful thing I've experienced to date in my life. So I like it. I was very encouraged by the testimony. So joy, one of my favorite subjects. It's funny that the Lord had spoken to me the same scripture to start and end with, Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him, believing through the experience of your faith. Then you will overflow, abound, and bubble over with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Abounding and overflowing with hope and joy and peace. You know that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So when you're joyful, that's an evidence and an indication that the Spirit of God is there with you and flowing out of you, because that's what joy is. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. So it really has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has nothing to do with what's going on in your life. It is an eternal emotion of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12:2. Fix your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the pioneer or the founder and perfecter, the source, the originator of the faith, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, the source of all joy, is Jesus. I'm going to read Hebrews 12:1-2 in the Amplified. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's in that scripture, because I could live in one scripture, one portion of the word for the rest of my life and not ever read the Bible again and still be filled with joy. Yes? Yes. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore is always like an additional word, so you go back to Hebrews 11. You go through the whole entire chapter of Hebrews 11, which is the testimony of many saints who were blessed and healed and delivered, and those that were not, who died believing. And yet, the next chapter, 12, says, therefore, because of all of these things, therefore. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know there's a cloud of witnesses in heaven? I don't believe that they're looking at us. I believe they're looking at Jesus and they're rejoicing. There's a few different schools of thought, but I don't believe they're looking at us at all. I believe they're just joining with what's going on in heaven and excited. But of course, prayer is going on in heaven, right? And worship. So when we worship, we're joining that cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. So that cloud of witnesses is very important. I had a minister friend of mine whose husband died, and she was really mad at him that he died. As a matter of fact, I was in the room with her, and she was pounding on him. you know, she was so mad at him. She was beating on his dead body and yelling at him. So I looked at her. I said, come on now. Oh, he got there before me. I'm so mad at him. He left me alone. So I shared this scripture with her about the cloud of witnesses. She goes, and all of a sudden, the lights went on. She was so excited because she realized that he was part of that cloud of witnesses that was worshiping Jesus. So it changed her whole thinking. I think she was still mad, but whatever. So the cloud of witnesses have by faith testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight. This is what we need to do. We need to strip off every unnecessary weight. I don't care what it is. And this, the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. So we have to look to the cloud of witnesses, look to heaven, look unto Jesus, know that he's with us and he loves us. Strip off all the unnecessary weights and run with endurance and active persistence. I've had many discussions with Dawn about endurance and patience and persistence. And she would go, oh! She's still here, still worshiping God, still standing and blessing. Run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity. So it's Jesus, isn't it? Not us. Jesus is the one, but we do need to submit and get in the river. Who for the joy of accomplishing the goal, which is what we receive also. We have a joy that's awaiting us when we get to heaven. There's also a joy that, oh my goodness, I got up this morning and I didn't have any pain and I was able to do things that I needed to do this morning and feel blessed. For the joy of overcoming that next hurdle, whatever that is. There's a joy that comes from you trusting in Jesus and knowing that he is going to bring that joy into your life as you continue to look to him. For the joy, now this is Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. Think about what he was going to look forward to. He was looking forward to going to the cross. And we do need to thank God and look forward to going to our own cross, right? Because we have a sin nature that has to be destroyed. Oh, really? Yes. In anticipation of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where he ended up. And who else gets to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God? We do. That's what we're looking forward to. When he did that, when he sat down and sat down, he revealed his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. When we get to heaven, whatever we have overcome on this earth, and if you go through Revelation, go through all the churches, there's at least seven different things that you can overcome and receive from the Lord. And be able to sit down at the throne of, at the right hand of the throne of God. He revealed his authority, his deity, and the completion of his work. So, there's a whole bunch of stuff in those two verses. The cloud of witnesses, examples of abiding faith, abiding endurance, a cheering crowd urging us on to victory. I don't believe, again, that they're looking down and saying, oh, come on, Pastor Maria, you can make it. I think Jesus is doing that. I think the Holy Spirit is doing that. But they are up there because they have overcome. So it's a crowd of conquering overcomers who have finally seen Jesus, looking at him, My friend Vicky's husband died recently, and we went to the wake, and we're sitting there, and I know that he was struggling at the end of his life. He had a lot of physical trials and a lot of things that were creating conflict in him. Anyway, I'm sitting next to her and holding her, and she's crying, and the Holy Spirit gives me an open vision of Larry in heaven, and he's jumping up and down, dancing, so excited, saying, "It's real, it's real, it's real." So I turned to her. Now, I didn't know, because, you know, Vicky's very discreet. I mean, she shared some things with me, but she didn't really say to me that Larry was, you know, struggling with his faith. I knew they were fighting. Anyways, I said to her, I told her, shared the vision with her, and she got so excited in her inner being. That's the reason why you would see something prophetically, is to encourage another soul. So she was really happy. She just was overjoyed. And then a couple of weeks later, I met her again, and she said, "What was it that you saw at the wake? I forgot. I forgot what it was." So I told her, and she got all teary-eyed and happy at the same time, and she said, "I can tell you that Larry was struggling with his faith at the end, because he had so many different physical things that he, you know, he was having a hard time with why wasn't Jesus answering his prayers." So you sharing that with me and now sharing with me again, God is faithful. God is faithful because Larry was a believer, even though he was struggling, because we all do struggle sometimes with doubt and fear and all of those things. So, Larry is up there, part of the great cloud of witnesses. We lay aside every weight, I did share, any sin that disconnects us from our relationship with Jesus, first and foremost, the sin of unbelief. I read a few commentaries about it, and most of them say that this weight that they're talking about in this portion of Scripture is unbelief. That's the bottom line. We don't want to lay that aside. We don't want to be in unbelief. We want to be believing Jesus. So run the race. Keep moving forward. Keep walking, running, standing, looking unto Jesus and away from other things that are distracting. The Lord said to me, concentrate. I haven't heard that word in a long time. Maybe since I was doing homework in high school. Concentrate. It's like, what are you concentrating on? What is your main focus? What are you thinking about all the time? So, for the joy is what is coming, the fulfillment of God's plan for our lives. And what was the fulfillment of God's plan for Jesus? What he was supposed to come into and fulfill here and in heaven. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, 1 Peter 1:8. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That was the first word the Lord gave me when I started this message. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Enduring the cross, Jesus chose to abide and remain and bear up under with great, magnificent courage. Jesus was a man like you and I. I don't think I could have done what he did. But he did, and I'm grateful. Consider that the Holy God chose to be involved with our rebellion. He made a choice to bear the shame of man's rebellion against God. He connected himself with our sin nature. I don't believe he walked with a sin nature when he was walking on the earth. He was a man, but I don't believe that he sinned. I believe that he was overcoming. But I believe on the cross he experienced everything that we could have ever possibly done or thought. Think about that man and what he bore for each one of us. It's a gruesome picture. If they have all these pictures of Jesus and what he looked like on the cross, he was unrecognizable. So he connected himself with our sin nature and took care of it. The cross was a disgrace. It was a curse. To die on the cross was a curse. So anytime you're having a problem with a curse, just remember that Jesus died for that curse. And then he sat down. He won the victory permanently over sin, sickness, and disease, and death, significantly positioning himself in authority on the throne. The last thing he said when he died was, "It is finished." So it was finished at the cross, but then he had to continue. He rose from the dead. He showed himself to many people, talked to all the disciples, revealed himself to over 500 people, and then he ascended, leaving a promise of the Holy Spirit. But he ascended and he sat down, finished. 1 Peter 1:3-9, I'm going to read, if my Kindle will cooperate, which it should. He is joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's who he is. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, born anew, kept in heaven for you, unsullied and unfading, reserved in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you should be exceedingly glad, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by the fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You are thrilled and filled because you believe in him with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. Hallelujah. That says something to me. Yet believing. And remember, in that book, in verse in Romans, believing is a place. In believing, it's a place. There's a place called I'm believing. I'm believing. We had so many different scripture choruses and memory things, and used to play them for the kids all the time in the car. And this one came to my heart. It was a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. It's Proverbs 15:13. So if you have a joyful heart, your face will be cheerful. And praise is comely to the upright. So you can look beautiful. Joy overflows out of a heart of gratitude. Yes, gratitude causes your heart to overflow. Now, here's a scripture. I wasn't looking for this, but I ended up in here. Jesus was speaking out loud to his Father. John 17:12-13. This is what he said. During my time here, I protected them by the power of your name that you gave me. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that my joy may be made full. Yes! And complete. and perfect in them, that they may experience my delight fulfilled in them, that my enjoyment may be perfected in their own souls. Isn't that amazing? That my joy may be made full. So Jesus' joy is made full when we are walking in his joy. So, you know, God has been speaking for months about the pattern between the glory outside and the glory inside. This is the joy outside and the joy inside. So his enjoyment, his joy needs to be perfected in our souls. The more that we come into a place of maturing. The end of that verse says that they may have gladness within them, filling their hearts, fulfilled with my joy. That's about it. I couldn't really go into more. I was so overwhelmed by the thought of Jesus' joy being in my heart. I did a whole study on Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is your strength, but it was way too much for Sunday afternoon. But I will tell you, if you want to read a success story, and read something that's a reality, there are steps in there and understandings in there about things that we can do and what Nehemiah did. And at the end, he and Ezra together gathered the people and he read the scriptures. Ezra read the scriptures and they were rejoicing and mourning. But they had worked very hard to rebuild Jerusalem, and it took them like 53 days or something, which was in itself a miraculous feat. But he said to them to eat and be happy and filled, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. 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 There is strength in joy, and there is joy in strength. I am reading a devotional written by Mother Teresa, and she's quite an amazing character, and so many things that she has accomplished on the earth. She's still alive, yes? Also, Pastor Roy, you know, he's been giving me, you know, whatever message I have. Oh, here, why don't you look at this? So he had a devotional by Mother Teresa, and there was a whole chapter on joy. So I looked it up and prayed over a whole book. So I have a few of Mother Teresa's things about joy. When your heart is burning with love for God, you will be filled with joy. I have a burning heart all the time. It's on fire. Joy comes from belonging to God, living with him, and being his own. There's just a joy that comes from knowing that you are loved by God. Joy is infectious. Joy is the very essence of God's character. 1 Chronicles 16:20 says that strength and joy fill his dwelling. So who is his dwelling? Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my impenetrable shield. My heart trusts in, relies on, and confidently leans on him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, filled with joy, and with my song, I will praise him. So praise also brings joy. When we start to praise God, our hearts get filled with joy, because our hearts get filled with God, and God is filled with joy. Psalm 1:1-3 promises that if we delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night, then we will be filled with joy and we will be prosperous, because we will bear fruit in every season. Joy. 2 Corinthians 4:7-10 describes God's followers as broken clay jars, broken vessels. I love that whole concept, because it puts all the emphasis on him and not on me. I'm just a clay pot. But I'm a clay jar that has God's radiant, joy-filled, shining light in me. And so are you. I have God's essence in my inner being. Then I'm going to read Psalm 30 because that was another psalm that really grabbed a hold of me. There's a couple of scriptures in Psalm 30 that talks about joy. One being, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. We do have times of mourning, don't we? We have sad times. But God is the one that turns our mourning into dancing by focusing and turning our eyes away from the pain and the distress and back to Him. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. No, this is not Psalm 30. This is Psalm 1. Okay. Come on. Here we go. This is for the dedication of the temple. If you think of what Nehemiah did, he rebuilt Jerusalem. He rebuilt the temple. They put the walls back up and refortified the city. The Lord told me that it's a word for RCF, and it's also a word for America. So I've been praying all that's in Nehemiah for America and for the church. This is a psalm, a song for the dedication of the temple of David. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave and you spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints, praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning with the dawning of the light. When I felt secure, I said, and that means Jesus too, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried out for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction? Am I going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Be my help. Help! You turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give you thanks forever, to the end that my tongue, I'm going to start with 11 in the Amplified. You have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have put off sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my tongue and my heart and everything glorious within me may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. There was a man that we had a cassette tape of that used to sing this song. So beautiful. I will not be silent forever. He sang that over. I will not be silent forever. I will not be silent forever. Sometimes we feel like there's somebody put a hand over our mouths when we're about to talk about Jesus. Well, guess whose hand that is? It's not God's. I will not be silent. I will declare that the Lord is who he is. Proverbs 15:13, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. A glad heart makes a cheerful countenance. A glad heart makes a happy face. A cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. So when joy comes in the morning, your face better be smiling. Joyful heart makes a cheerful face. And a good word gonna make him glad. Romans 15, I'm gonna end this with Romans 15, 13. I hope you have a little more joy in your heart than you did when you walked in. Romans 15, 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Trusting in God brings joy and peace. You trust in him, believing through the experience of your faith. When I came to Jesus, I asked him, because somebody asked me, when were you born again? And I didn't even know what they're talking about. Because the religious upbringing that I had did not say anything about being born again. Although my mother recognized when I was born again. It's very funny. She bought me a little butterfly patch. I said, what's this for? Well, you know, now you're born again. I said, really? Anyway. But the Lord took me in my memory back to all the times that he called me from when I was a young little girl. How he was there, showed me all the times that he was there, and then the times that he called me to him, that I said no also. And then when I finally said yes to him on the beach, that's when I was born again. Believing through the experience of my faith. So I was able to go back with the Holy Spirit's eyes and see all the opportunities that I had and all the times that he rescued me and all the times that he was there, he showed me. And there's healing in that when you go back with him, with his eyes, not your own eyes, but with his eyes. There's healing that happens through your memories, and he will show you where he was. And if you went, if did suffer some trauma, I guarantee you that he was there. I guarantee you that he was there when you were in that trauma, and that if you ask him, he will take you back, and he will show you where he was. And I guarantee that he was crying. Because that's what Jesus does when his children end up in trauma. He is deeply grieved. But he always points to the Father. He always points us to the cross, to the reality of the living, breathing Holy Spirit. So then you will overflow and abound, bubble over with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not through your own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the creator of joy and that you are the essence of joy and that we can have this joy in any given moment as we turn, focus, and concentrate on your beautiful face, acknowledging your amazing presence in whatever situation we find ourselves in, that you alone are the author and finisher of our faith. You alone are the champion who has gone ahead of us to show us the way. And we thank you that you are a conquering overcomer and that you succeeded and that we can trust you and follow you in that success. I pray that in this last week, as we prepare for the celebration of your birth, even in the service and also with our families, I pray for peace in all of our hearts, peace and a reality that you can direct our steps, that we can do everything that is on the plate for us to take care of. In record time, if we worship you first, if we lift up your name first, if we receive that joy unspeakable and full of glory, that we can accomplish the goals that you have set before us. So I pray for each soul here today and those that were unable to make it, that you will bless them and keep them. You will cause your face to shine upon them and be gracious unto them. You will lift up your countenance upon them and grant them peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.